Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, guys, I will be giving you my playoff preview for the Western Conference. This will be the first round preview, guys. We'll go through all the series. Also, we'll talk about some teams that got knocked out in the playoffs. We'll talk about their futures as well. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And, guys, we're in the midst of the playoffs, so you already know how I do it. You know we got to go through each series in the first round. We'll talk about that. And then also, too, guys, I want to touch on teams that were knocked out in the play-in. We'll talk about their futures as well. So I have a bit of sound that I'm going to play, but I'll play it when the time is convenient. Very interesting sound that I heard, but we'll play that later on. So with that said, let us not delay. Let's get right into it, guys. So the Western Conference, we have it all set up for you guys. So you have the number one seed, guys, the Oklahoma City Thunder, at an impressive 68-14, guys, finishing 35-6 at home, absolutely crushing teams. And they'll be taking on the 8th seed, the Memphis Grizzlies, guys. Memphis Grizzlies at 48-34, so no typical 8th seed. And on the road, they did have a winning record, 22-19, so there you go with that. Season series, those guys. Oklahoma City Thunder dominated the series, 4-0. So there you have that. So, but I tell you what, guys, this will be our first 1 seed versus an 8 seed. I think this is going to be a tough battle here. Your key matchups, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and many people's eyes, the league MVP, going up against Ja Morant. I think this one is top 3 matchups in the playoffs. I think it's going to be that devastating, that incredible. I think both guys will come out guns blazing. Well, maybe I shouldn't use that term when we talk about Ja Morant, but I digress. But I think these guys are going to be red hot in this series. Mind you, Ja Morant, he hurt himself in the first game of the play-in when they went against Golden State. And I think if he doesn't hurt himself in that game, I think Memphis ends up beating Golden State. That's what I thought. But he was able to manage and get through. And then he plays in the following game where they're the home team playing against Dallas. And they just took care of business against Dallas, guys. And Ja Morant was a big part of them taking care of that business, guys. So I say if he sprains his ankle, but he toughed it out and played in that second game of the play-in. So I think if that ankle is okay, if they're able to nurse it and kind of, you know, make sure he doesn't overexert himself, I think he should be okay in the series. But this matchup, oh my gosh, this is the stuff dreams are made of, guys. So I'll be interested to see that one. And then Jalen Williams versus Jaren Jackson Jr. I think this is one that where you have a Jalen Williams there who's had a fine campaign, most improved player candidate in my eyes, going up against the likes of a guy who can play on both ends, guys. He's a very good defender, Jaren Jackson Jr. He has the length to bother a Jalen Williams. So I think this is going to be a great matchup as well. And then also, guys, a Lu Dort versus a Desmond Bane. Desmond Bane's been playing great, guys. So a defensive-minded guy like Lou Dort is going to have to slow him down, going to have to keep him from going off. So I think this is an intriguing matchup also. Oklahoma City keys to victory. They must win the battle on the boards, guys. I think that goes a long way in this series, guys. So guys like Chet Holmgren, Isaiah Hartenstein, I think they're going to have to keep the likes of a Jaren Jackson Jr., Zach Edey, who was crushing the boards in the play-in, guys. I think you're going to have to keep those two guys off the glass, especially the offensive glass, guys, in this series in order for OKC to advance. For the Grizzlies to win this, Ja Morant, you need him healthy, you need him focused, you need him ready, guys. That's how good a player this guy is, man. Given, you know, his antics otherwise, he's the head of the snake. He is. I think as he goes, this team goes. That's just the way it goes, guys. Even with the new coach in there, the new assistant coach in there, I think it's still Ja's team. And as he goes, this team will go. And your bench has to show up, guys, because OKC has a strong bench between Isaiah Joe, Aaron Wiggins, Isaiah Hartenstein, of course, who can always come in and start, Kenrich Williams. They have an absolutely strong bench, so you're going to need guys from Memphis like Santi Aldama, also John Conchart, and a name we haven't heard in a while, Marvin Bagley III. I even know he was on the Memphis Grizzlies, guys. But you're going to need him to show up and show out, guys. Their bench is going to have to in order to survive this series. My prediction, if all is well with Ja, and I imagine it will be, I'm still saying OKC, guys, but I'm saying seven. This series is going seven. I think that's how I understand they dominated them in the regular season, but this is the playoffs, guys. This is where the money's on the table. So I think the Memphis Grizzlies will give them all that they can handle. And I'm saying OKC in seven. You know, what I think will be a grueling series. Let us move on to two seed, guys. The Houston Rockets at 52-30, and they had a fine home record, 29. Hang on a second. That's what I thought I had there. Going up against the seventh seed, the Golden State Warriors, everybody's darling right now, guys, at 48-34. On the road, they have a very good home record, 34-17. You definitely take that. And in this series, Houston does have the advantage in the regular season, winning 3-2. So they have that. Golden State was able to advance, guys, by beating the Memphis Grizzlies in a game. Again, I say it was a tough game, and where you needed the likes, you need Herculean efforts from Jimmy Butler and from Steph to get the victory here. And actually, well, when I do my predictions, I'll tell you this part. So, key matchups. Amen Thompson versus Steph Curry. Now, Amen Thompson, guys, he's been able to get the best of Steph as far as guarding him. So this is not going to be a cakewalk by any stretch for Steph Curry. So Amen Thompson is a young man who's on the come up. He's had a fine season. And ever since they inserted him into the starting lineup, it's been all systems go for the Houston Rockets, guys. So this is going to be an intriguing matchup. Also, Dylan Brooks versus a Jimmy Butler. I think it'd be It'll be him, maybe also Jabari Smith Jr. I think he could see some action against Butler as well, but they're going to have to keep playoff Jimmy at bay in this one. And then Alperen Sengun versus Draymond Green. Now, these guys have had words in the past. In fact, this team, both teams have been chippy with one another in the past. So I say if Sengun is able to keep his cool in this series and not let Draymond get in his head and have a fantastic series, I think this will go a long way for the Rockets, guys. So keys to victory for the Rockets. They're going to need their duo, Sengun and Jalen Green, to show up, guys. They're going to have to show up, and they're going to have to match Steph and Butler, what they can do. They're going to have to do that, guys. And then also, dominate the boards. Houston Rockets must dominate the boards against Golden State. That's where they're most vulnerable, guys, on the glass, because Memphis Grizzlies, Zach Edey absolutely controlled the boards in that game. So if you're able to have a Sengun, a Steven Adams even come in there and control the paint, I think that's going to go a long way. And then you need a great series from a guy we don't really talk much about, Fred VanVleet, guys. I think he has to have a very fine series in this one. Keys for Golden State, you're going to need more of that stellar play from Steph, more of playoff Jimmy. You're going to need more of him as well. But are you going to get contributions from others? In fact, in that Golden State-Memphis series, a game I watched, Jonathan Kaminga didn't even play in the game. So I'm like, what are you doing over there, Steve Kerr? I understand you're a championship coach, a gold medal winning coach and all the things, but how can you not play Jonathan Kuminga? You're going to need him in this series. You're not going to be able to bench him in this. Forget about it. So you're going to need him. You're going to need Brandon Podziemski. You're going to need his contributions, a Moses Moody as well. And Buddy Hield, he's going to have to be laser focused from deep. So you have to have all that in order to win this series. So my prediction, now, Vegas has already laid it out. They're picking Golden State to win this series, guys. In fact, they got them 2-1 in this series. Absolutely unbelievable for a 7 seed, guys. That's how disrespected that Houston has been, being the 2 seed. And if I'm M.A. Aduka, I'm laying it to my team. Even Vegas don't respect you guys. Go out there and show Vegas they're wrong. Show all the commentators they're wrong. It's us against the world. If he's able to convey that message, guys, they'll win this series, guys. Now, part of me saying Golden State because, everybody's saying Golden State, but I think maybe Houston has the chops to pull this off, guys. I'm going against the grain, guys. I'm going Houston in 7. I'm going Houston in 7. I understand everybody's clamoring for Steph to go all the way to the conference finals and all those things, but I just get a feeling Houston's not going to take this disrespect, man. I understand, they only finished 4 games better in the standings than the Golden State, but this Houston team did show you something this season, I thought. So I'm going against the grain, Houston in 7. So there you go. All right. And then the next series, the LA Lakers as the 3 seed, guys, improbable as it is, they are the 3 seed, finishing 50-32. With a fantastic home record, 31-10 at home, going up against the 6 seed, who won 49 games and 49-33, and that's the Memphis not Memphis, the Minnesota Timberwolves. And on the road, they were 24-17. Very good home road record. Now, the thing with this, they split the series, guys, two games apiece, but they haven't played, guys, since February 27th. So that's a long time, guys. So a lot has changed with the Lakers since then. So with that said, let's look at the matchups. Luka versus Anthony Edwards. I think that one actually screams out loud for me, guys. Very, very good matchup here. One of the top three or five to me in these playoffs. Whatever guy is able to amass their numbers and carry their team, that'll be the guy winning this series, that's for sure. LeBron James at the advanced age of 40, him versus a Jaden McDaniels, who's been a fine defensive player in this season. So LeBron will have his hands full. What he's able to do, we'll see what happens. And then one I think that's going to fly under the radar, Rui Hachimura versus a Julius Randle. Now, Julius Randle, we know him from his Knick days. He's been one who hasn't performed the greatest in the playoffs. So that's always been hanging over his head. He's in a new situation now with Minnesota. Will he be able to shake off the demons, so to speak, and show that he's a playoff performer? I think that goes a long way for Minnesota in this series. If he's able to play like the Julius Randle of the Knicks, where he's able to go in and get his, that's going to be trouble for the Lakers. Lakers key to victory. Your big three got to dominate, guys. Luka, LeBron, and Austin Reeves. Those guys have to dominate in this series, guys, in order for them to win. And this is JJ's first playoff. So I tell you what, guys, say what you will. I don't have him amongst the final three as far as coach of the year, but what the job that JJ Redick has done here has been nothing short of amazing. The fact that he's had to deal with changing his team on the fly when you bring in a Luka Doncic. You have to change your coaching strategy from there because you're getting a top five player in this game, adding him with a LeBron. So you're going to have to make adjustments. And JJ has done that, guys. So much so they are now the 3 seed in the West. So you have to give him a boatload of credit for the Lakers' success this season. So just to say that. But JJ in his first playoffs, it'll be very interesting to see how he maneuvers and how he, you know, makes adjustments on the fly. I think that's going to go a long way for them winning if they are to win this series. And then Memphis keys, Anthony Edwards, he has to keep his cool, guys. Right now he has 17 technical fouls. I understand this is the playoffs now, but, you know, those kind of mistakes you cannot make in the playoffs because mistakes like that will cost you a game, and one lost game like that can cost you a series. So Anthony Edwards has to maintain his cool, guys. Again, Julius Randle, he's got to just show up, guys. He's got to show up in this series. And then the bench. Their bench has to produce here in order to give them some kind of a chance, guys. You got guys there like Naz Reid. You got guys like Mikal Alexander Walker there also. Dante DiVincenzo, you even have him. And you know he can get hot in a second. So they're going to have to show up and put up numbers. My prediction, I'm saying this one goes the distance, guys. Lakers in 7. I don't feel confident in that, but I think I think for all intents and purposes, Lakers have the better top three. They have, I don't even know if I can say they have the better coach. I think the coaching is kind of even. The bench, I think, goes a long way in this series, but I think Lakers' big three gives them the advantage to win this series. So that's what I'm saying in that regard. So I'll say Lakers in seven. But guys, I want to play for you the sound. This is, I played it for a friend of the show, D, and he just laughed at it. But this is a conversation now that's trying to be brewing to the top, so to speak. This is Paul Pierce on all the, talking to the guys of All the Smoke. And he's talking about Steph Curry and his legacy. Listen to this sound, guys.
Where are we ranking him? If he wins the championship, he's definitely top 10.
He wins the LeBron era.
No question.
He has more than in the LeBron era, he took 5 rings. He would have won Freddie Durant. He won 7-3 games they lost. Him as the guy. Then he won 2 with Kevin D. His only top 75 player he ever played.
That's a big addition.
That is a big addition. But like everybody
MVP, both these finals.
Yeah. And then he won one after KD with Wiggins.
Facts.
And then say now he went enough. So he would have won with 3 different teams. All organically. This ain't no move around, go here, go here, go there. This is all y'all built around me because y'all felt like I was that special.
That mean more.
That mean way more, right? Sort of like Tim B. He did it in 3 different teams. Mm-hmm. And in the LeBron era, I got a unanimous board.
Tim? No, a unanimous board.
A unanimous board. You, who you say you are, and I get the unanimous in your era.
And win more championships.
And win more chips than you. Do I win the air?
Yes.
And did I change the game?
Yes.
And am I the greatest shooter ever?
Yes.
Am I one of the most, like, think about what I'm saying. He doing all of this.
We gonna have to ask the tough questions.
If Steph win it again this year.
First of all, now that was Paul Pierce talking to Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes of All the Smoke. You know those guys, you know, I tell them all the time. They do a fantastic job. Steph, I'll say top 10 of all time, Steph is. But, you know, was, you know, the fact is, Paul Pierce, who has no love for LeBron James, let's get that out the way. He likes to poke holes in LeBron's legacy. And he's trying to do so by saying that Steph, if he wins one, he'll have 5 chips, the equal of LeBron. He'll have a unanimous MVP. That's what he's saying, the unanimous boy MVP, which he has. One of one. No one's has ever won it unanimously, and he has. So he gets 5 chips playing around the same time as a LeBron. Does that weaken the argument for LeBron? I wouldn't say drastically, but it does raise an eyebrow. But it definitely keeps him in the top 10 discussion if he gets 5. You have to say that. You have to say that. But again, Steph Curry, I never classify him as a point guard. He's more shooting guard than point guard. Now, if you say flat-out guards who's impacted the NBA, of course, he's in the conversation in that regard. But I thought it was an intriguing bit of sound there, so I thought I'd play it for you guys. So we can expound on that another day. We got more playoff stuff to talk about. So with that said, let us continue. The number 4 seed, the Denver Nuggets, who also won 50 games, 50-32, at home, finishing 26-15, and they'll be taking on the 5 seed, the LA Clippers, who also won 50 games. So you got both teams winning 50 games, guys. On the road, though, Clippers 20 and 21. You still take that as close to 500. So, and they have split the season series 2-2, and they haven't played since January 8th. So Denver's definitely playing a whole different Clippers team, guys. First of all, you have a healthy Kawhi. Also, you just have guys that are contributing now. You brought in a Bogdan Bogdanovich. You brought him in. So you have these different elements than when you first played. So definitely a different squad you're facing if you're the Denver Nuggets. So with that said, key matchups, Nikolai Jokic versus Ivica Zubats. I think this matchup here, if Zubats is able to not be in too much foul trouble, I think he could give the Joker fits. He has the size. He has the ability inside to rebound. He has a nice touch around the rim. He can give the Joker some problems that he hasn't really experienced as far as a center goal. You know, on most nights, he could get away with being the top center, you know, being taller than his opponent, being stronger than his opponent. Not in this series, guys. So I think what happens here, if he's able to kind of deter the Joker a little bit, I think that goes a long way. Jamal Murray versus James Harden. Jamal Murray, for all intents and purposes, is healthy. So there's that. But James Harden, I tell you something, guys. He's had a very good second half of the season, guys. Albeit he was all-star yet again, but he's had a strong second half, guys. So there's that. Aaron Gordon versus Kawhi Leonard. This is the matchup for me, guys. Kawhi Leonard has looked like he's found the fountain of youth. He is playing absolutely fantastic. And Aaron Gordon, he's one of those guys who can play two ways, guys. He's able to defend and keep his guy, you know, locked in. But Kawhi, when Kawhi is going, it's not many people who can stop him, man. So what Aaron Gordon is able to do to Kawhi will go a long way here. And then one that's I kind of added that's flying under the radar, Michael Porter Jr. versus Norman Powell, a guy who I feel would have been in the conversation for most improved if he had the games to back him up. But going up against the likes of Michael Porter Jr., who can be hot and cold, I think this is one that can fly under the radar and can be important in the long run. Keys for victory for the Denver Nuggets. Jamal Murray. Everything rests on him in my eyes. If Jamal Murray is right and he's healthy, the Nuggets advance in this series. But that's always a question mark there. And then Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon, they got to hold their own. They have to hold their own, guys, especially against the likes of a Kawhi and Norman Powell, who somehow James Harden has found a way to keep both those guys going, and that's been important. So for the Clippers, and of course, there's rest with Kawhi Leonard. They need Kawhi Leonard healthy if they're to go a distance in this playoffs. So far, so good, guys. So far, so good. As far as his knee hasn't been bothering him as much, they've been able to load manage him throughout the season, and it has paid in dividends. And then the Clippers bench must outpace the Denver bench, which is kind of easy because the bench that Denver has isn't much of a bench. Whereas the Clippers, you know, I'm missing Bogdanovich there. You got other guys there as well that can give you something. So I think bench production will also tip the scales one way or the other. So my prediction, this is one I had to wrestle with quite a bit, but I think the Clippers are on to something. I think they're on to something. You know, you're going to have to steal one in Denver. Can they do that? Quite possibly they could. So I'm picking Clippers. I'm picking Clippers in six, guys. It's not going to be an easy series. I know that. But something about the Clippers. Ty Lue's got this team clicking at the right time. I think the Clippers are trying to do something here. So I'm picking Clippers, guys. All right, guys. So that is your Western Conference first round look. Let's look at the teams that are out of it. Let's start with the Sacramento Kings. They lost to Dallas in the 9-10 game in the play-in. Their salary for next year is at almost $161 million. Right now, they're free agents, more of the lower scale free agents. Trey Lyles, Jake Rivavia, Doug McDermott, and Markelle Fultz. But the big question for them is, what do you do with Zach LaVine and with DeMar DeRozan? Zach LaVine, he has two more years. He has a year and a player option at $47.4 million, and then the player option at $48.9 million. And DeMar DeRozan has two more years at $24.5 million and then $25.7 million. Guys, here's what I'm going to say. If it didn't work in Chicago when they paired up, what makes you think it's going to work in Sacramento with them paired up? And you're without a true point guard over there as well, so how is that even going to work? So I'm of the opinion you're going to have to move one of the two guys. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you do a three-team deal and somehow the Kings are able to bring in a Trae Young. Somehow, salary for salary, that works. And then you get a third team involved that'll take Zach LaVine on, because I don't believe Atlanta would want Zach LaVine back in that trade. You already got young guys at the three and the two there, so they may not need him per se. So, I just feel that Sacramento, if you're going to do something here, I think that's the logical move. These two guys playing together just doesn't work. So there you go with that. So Sacramento, you already lost De'Aaron Fox, so you need point guard play in there. And why not bring in a guy like Trae Young to add to the mix? So there you go in that regard. And then I say the next disappointment to me is the Dallas Mavericks. I'll say they're right under the Atlanta Hawks in that regard. They did beat Sacramento in the 9-10 game, but they lost to Memphis in the following game. Right now, their salary, man, it's up there too. $193.5 million, guys. Gracious. Your free agents, Spencer Dinwiddie, who you brought in for a song. He's a free agent. Dante Exum, who gave you flashes during the season. And then Brandon Williams, who showed you a little something at $2.3 million. And it's a team option, so I imagine they would pick that up since that's such a cheap price. So right now, you got to think about Kyrie Irving. He actually has a player option at 43.9 million, so 44 million. And granted, you know, he did tear his ACL, so we're looking at a timetable of him not being back on the court until maybe 2026. So do the Dallas Mavericks go all in on him with the torn ACL? That's a question that needs to be answered. And then, you know, Nico Harris, the GM, is catching a lot of shots, guys. He is catching a lot of heat over the Luka trade. I'm of the opinion he doesn't come back. I think they already scapegoated him, and you know, the probably the fair thing to do to keep the Dallas faithful at bay is to drop the axe on Nico Harrison. And then with that, does your new GM trade Anthony Davis? Now, he has 3 years left on his deal, guys, at $57.6 million, $62.2 million, and then a player option, $66.8 million. Man, talking about some big money, guys. That's a over $180 million contract. And then granted, in his last game, he did score 40 points with 9 rebounds, but in the fourth quarter, with about 8 minutes left and them down 11, he gets a leg injury. So we don't know the diagnosis on that. We don't know how serious it is, guys. So, you know, he is heading into an offseason. So there's that. But you don't want to have to be watching the injury report each and every time with this guy. So do you make a move? And what value is there out there for him? So those are two questions you got to answer there. Klay Thompson, do you move him? He's at a kind of a low number here, guys, 16.6 million, and then a player option for 17.4. Do you keep him around if you end up moving Anthony Davis? Do you move him as well? Who, he had a nice game, 18 points. So what do you do in that regard? So you definitely need you need to do something if you're Dallas, because right now Dallas is not, the people there are not happy not having Luka. And again, I think Anthony Davis is a lightning rod for the ire of Dallas fans. So it'll be very interesting to see, guys, but I think it's going to be a long off season for Dallas. So there you go. All right, guys, I thank you for listening as always. So playoffs getting rolling, guys, and you know me, I'll be on top of it. So all things basketballwithgd.com is the website. Episodes, clips are all on the website, guys. Donate buttons are there as well. Buy me a coffee. Spotify donate, PayPal, or all buttons on my page for donate. And also, Cash App, $GD, that sports dude. Again, that's $GD, that sports dude. There you find all my, there you can donate, guys. There you can donate. So with that said, podcast platforms, I'm there on all of them. YouTube, I'm got a page there, of course. Guys, I put a link to it on my LinkedIn, social media, Instagram, TikTok while it's still alive, Blue Sky, a little bit of Facebook, not much else. So thank you for listening, guys. Your listenership is what drives this show. Much appreciated, and we'll be talking soon. Take care.